This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We'll begin from Ayah 213. كان الناس أمة واحدة. Mankind was of one religion before their deviation. And then what happened? فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. Then Allah sent the prophets as bringers of good news and also as warners. So we learn over here that the history is being mentioned briefly. In the previous verse, the believers and the disbelievers are mentioned. That the believers, because of their sacrifices in the dunya, because they follow the commands of Allah, and because they suffer with regards to their dunya because of obedience to Allah, what happens? The disbelievers mock at them. So what is this iman? What is this kufr? How come everybody is not the same? How come? So Allah explains over here that all of mankind, all of humanity, all of the human race, كان الناس, what were they? أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. They were one ummah, one nation. What does it mean by one nation? Meaning all of them followed the same religion at the beginning. So basically, the beginning of man, the beginning of humankind, was with guidance, not with misguidance. It was with knowledge, not with ignorance. It was with tawheed, not with shirk. Adam alayhi salam was the first man, and we also know him as the first prophet. So he was not just created and left on his own, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also taught him, also guided him as to how to worship Allah, how to obey Allah. And also, if you think of it, people initially, they were very few in number. Perhaps one family, maybe then two families, then maybe just one village, one small town, and then eventually people spread over the earth. And we know that when people are less in number, then there is unity. And as people grow, then differences arise, and then people begin to differ with one another. And then divisions also happen within people. So at the beginning, all of the human beings, they followed the same religion. They were one nation. Meaning, they were on Islam. They believed in Allah. They worshipped Allah. They followed Tawheed. But then what happened? فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ. Then people began to differ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided the people. He made arrangements for their guidance. How was that? That Allah sent to the people who? An-Nabiyyin, prophets. The word Ba'atha is from the root letters Ba'ain Sa. And the word Ba'atha means to raise, to send, to dispatch someone, to appoint someone. So Allah sent, Allah appointed who? An-Nabiyyin, which is the plural of Nabi. And these prophets who were sent to people, who were they? They were sent first of all as Mubashirin, plural of Mubashir. And Mubashir is one who gives Bashara, from the root letters Ba, Sheen, Ra. What does Bashara mean? Bushra? Good news. So the prophets gave good news to the people. Good news of what? Good news of reward, good news of success, good news of paradise, of eternal bliss, if they believed in Allah and followed His laws. So the prophets gave good news to people in order to encourage them to believe. And at the same time, they also were munzirin. They were also warners, plural of munzir. And munzir is one who gives inzar, from the root letters noon, dal, ra, which is to give warning. So the prophets also conveyed warning to the people. Which warning? Warning of punishment. If they continue to disbelieve in Allah, or if they continue to associate partners with Him. So we see that people were on Tawheed, and as the people grew in their numbers, divisions arose, people became of different beliefs, and in order to guide them, Allah sent prophets to lead them back to the straight path. Just as we see that Nuh a.s. was the first messenger, isn't it? He was the first messenger. Why was he sent? Because the people started doing shirk. And how did that shirk begin? That there were some righteous people, some pious people, and when they died, Iblis came to the people and he said to them that, look, those people were so righteous, they were so pious, just make their images so that you can remember them. And eventually, their remembrance turned into their worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nuh alayhi salam. Why? In order to tell the people that shirk was not allowed. What they were doing was actually shirk. And they should only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So we see that Allah sent messengers in order to guide the people. And the messengers conveyed warning. And they also conveyed good news. See the balance over here? Warning and good news. Both go together. Many times we focus just on the good news. We say, yeah, everything you're doing is fine. Just you believe and that's it, you'll be okay. We only focus on good news sometimes. And other times we only focus on warning. But we see that both are important. There should be encouragement. There should be good news. And there should also be caution. There should also be warning. Because when there is balance, then a person is able to accept and follow. If he's being threatened all the time, he'll feel so negative. And if he's being encouraged all the time, he'll say everything is okay. So there has to be a balance. وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ. And Allah sent down with them. With who? With the prophets. What did He send down with the prophets? الْكِتَابَ, the book, meaning the scripture. Whether it was a book or a scroll, or no matter how big or small it was, whatever kitab it was, whatever scripture, whatever teachings, the messenger was given. But this kitab was given bilhaq, with the truth. What does it mean by with the truth? Containing the truth. Containing the right guidance. Because what people had was not the truth. They had deviated from the truth. And so Allah sent the truth to them. And also bilhaq is understood as that أَنزَلَ بِالْحَقِّ, meaning He sent down the kitab for true reasons, for the right reasons, for a just cause. And what is that just cause? To guide people. وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ, and He also sent down the book with the messengers. Why the book? لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, so that it judges between the people. What judges between the people? The book. Or Yahkuma can be understood as He judges, meaning the messenger, the prophet judges with the book between the people. Meaning concerning the ikhtilaf that they had. Fima, in what? Ikhtilafu fihi, that they differed in. So concerning the differences that the people had, the book decided between them. The book decided regarding that. For example, let's take the example of the Qur'an. People had a lot of differences. They still have a lot of differences. Is shirk okay or not? Is worshipping others besides Allah okay or not? Similarly, what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? Is everybody going to go to Jannah, or people are going to be given recompense for their actions and dealt with accordingly? So people have a lot of differences. Similarly, when it comes to eating and drinking, one group says, eat this. Another says, don't eat this. There are differences. People differ with one another. So what is it that gives us a solution? What is it that tells us what right is, what truth is? The book of Allah. The guidance of Allah. And this is the reason why Allah sent the book. لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي مَخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ, concerning that which they differ in. So people differ with regards to many things. And the solution is found in the divine guidance. So no matter what we differ in, what should we look at? The Qur'an. What does Allah say about it? وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ, and He did not differ concerning it. Concerning what? It over here refers to the deen, the religion, and it may also refer to the scripture. It may also refer to the book. That once the book came, once the book was sent to the people, once the truth was made clear to the people, still what happened? People continued to differ. Some people, they continue to differ. Just as we see today, that the Quran is one, isn't it? But everybody has their own interpretation. The ayat are the same, but different people use them in different ways to prove their own points. So over here Allah says that وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ, that despite sending the book, despite sending the guidance, why is it that people still remained in differences? That if Allah sent the book, then how come still there are people who disbelieve and there are people who believe? How come there are the Yahud and the Nasara and then the Muslims? How come people are not the same? If the guidance was from Allah, if the book was sent as a solution, then how come people still differ from one another? Why? So that is the reason that is being given over here now. That وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ. Who differed concerning the book? Only those people who were أُوتُوهُ. They were given the book. The receivers of the book. The recipients of the book. The people of the book. They differed concerning the book. When? مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. After the clear signs came to them. After the book was given to them. Meaning after the reality was made known to them. So what was the reason then? Why did they differ despite having knowledge? بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Out of animosity amongst themselves. Out of jealousy among themselves. The word بَغْي is from the root letters بَغْيَ. And what does بَغْي mean? Literally it means desire to obtain something, to get something. And then the word baghi is also used for transgression. Why? Because many times when we desire to get something, what do? We cross the limits in obtaining them. Many times this happens. So the word baghi is used for transgression. It is used for hostility. It is used for rebellion. To not care about the limits. So baghiyan bainahum, out of jealous animosity amongst themselves. For example, we see that the Yahud, they were given the Torah. Many messengers were sent to them. And the last messenger who was sent to the Yahud, to the Bani Israel in particular, was who? Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam was given clear miracles, bayinat, miracles. He was given the book, he was given the scripture. Was the truth not made clear? Of course it was. But still, the Yahud, many of the Bani Israel, they did not believe in Isa alayhi salam. Why? They didn't want to accept him. Because what he was telling them to do was against their desires. And then what happened? The Prophet ﷺ was sent. But again, the Bani Israel did not believe in him. Why? Because they said, he is not one of us. Was the truth not made clear? Of course, we know that they recognized the Prophet ﷺ as well as they recognized their own children. But still they denied him. That is the reason being given over here, بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. So basically, what is being explained over here is that the problem does not lie with the truth. The problem does not lie with the guidance that Allah has sent. The guidance that Allah sent was absolutely clear. It was بَيِّنَات. But the problem was with the people who were the recipients of that guidance. They did not accept it. They had baghi. The problem lies with them. فَهَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So Allah guided those people who believed. Those people who believed, Allah guided them, no matter which era they were in. Allah took them out of this whole mess of differences. لِمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. For that which they differed in, min al-haq, from the truth, بِإِذْنِهِ, with His permission. So Allah guided those people who had believed, to what? He guided them to the truth. Which truth? Concerning that over which the people had differed in. And how did He guide them? By His permission. So we see over here that none can obtain guidance without the permission of Allah. If someone has received guidance, it is not his own achievement. Who gets the credit? Allah. Because Allah allows, Allah is the one who gives tawfiq. And we learn that over here, once a person believes, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Once a person believes, then he is guided to the truth. As we learn in the Quran, that وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, whoever believes in Allah, يَهْتِ قَلْبَهُ, Allah guides his heart. So first, a person has to take the step. He has to believe in the truth that he sees, that he recognizes, and then Allah will guide him. Now we wonder, as Muslims, there are so many differences. Should I do this, or should I do that? Should I follow this opinion, or should I follow that opinion? But once a person has iman, then Allah guides him to the truth. وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ, and Allah guides whomever He wills to what? إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, to the straight path. What is the straight path? The way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for the people. So basically we learn from this ayah that all of mankind was in guidance before. And then gradually, as a population grew, people began to differ with one another. And obviously, shaitan's aim is to mislead people. It is to take people astray. So, as time went on, people went astray from the right path, and in order to guide them, Allah sent the prophets to give the good news and also to warn. And with the prophets, Allah also sent the kitab, Allah also sent the law. But what happened? Some people continued to differ with regards to the truth. Why? Not because the problem lied with the truth, but because there was a problem with them. And what was that problem? Animosity, jealousy, their own personal grudges. They didn't look at the truth, but instead they looked at who is it who is giving the truth to us? Who is it that is presenting the truth to us? They looked at the person, not the truth itself. And then what happened? Allah guided those people who had believed to the truth despite all of the differences. Which is why we see that from the beginning up until the end of time, there will always remain a group of people upon the truth. There will always remain a group of people upon the truth, no matter how few they are. And one very important lesson that we learn from this ayah is that if there are any differences, if people differ concerning anything, what should we refer to? The Book of Allah. What does the Book of Allah say? What does Allah tell us with regard to this matter? And if we learn of the hukum of Allah, then that should be enough for us. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ, or do you think, أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ, that you will enter Jannah. This address is to the Muslims. You see, when there are differences, what do differences do? They create problems for us. And especially when there are differences between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, they create difficulties. And especially when these differences, they turn into animosity, into enmity. Just as we read previously, that the believers get mocked at by the disbelievers. So, when a believer suffers difficulty from others because of his iman, what is that? It's a test. It's a test. Being mocked at by someone just because you follow your religion, it's a test. So Allah questions us over here that you think that you're just going to enter Jannah without any tests, without any difficulties? You think entry to Jannah is that simple? أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ? Do you think that you're just going to enter Jannah like that? حَسِبْتُمْ is from the root letters, حَسِنْ بَ. And the word حِسَاب is from the same root as well. حِسَاب is to calculate, to account. And then over here, حَسْب is to consider, to think, to suppose something. So do you think, أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ, that you will enter Jannah, وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ, while it has not yet come to you? لَمَّا. Lamma over here gives the meaning of not yet. Since, not yet. What has not come to you? مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ, the مَثَل of those people who have passed away before you. The word مَثَل means example. مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي, their example is the example of the one who. But the word مَثَل also means description. Especially when the word mathal is not followed by kamathal. When we learned earlier about the example of the hypocrites, what did we read? Mathaluhum kamathali. So when the word mathal appears on its own, then most of the time it gives a meaning of description, wasf, characteristic, and not example. It gives a meaning of likeness. So you think you're just going to enter Jannah, while the mathal, meaning while the likeness or the description, and what does it mean by description or likeness over here? Meaning similar trial, same difficulty, similar trial, same difficulty has not come to you. Which difficulty? Which came upon الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, which came upon those people who passed away before you. The word خَلَوْا is from the root letters خَالًا وَوْ, and we have done this word before. Literally it means to be empty, and then figuratively it means to pass away. So those people who passed away before you, meaning the believers who passed away before you, the earlier generations, they suffered a lot. They suffered a lot of difficulties. They suffered a lot of challenges. And you think you're going to enter Jannah without any challenges, without any difficulties? You have not suffered the same way. You have not gone through what they went through. Then why do you expect that you will enter Jannah just as they will enter Jannah? Basically, what is being said in this ayah is that entry into Jannah is not easy. You have to pay some price. You have to go through some difficulty. You have to go through some challenges. And these challenges, these difficulties, could be through the opposition of others. It could be by other people mocking at you. It could be by other trials in life. It could be anything. But a believer definitely goes through difficulties in this life, no matter what kind of difficulty they are. It could be any difficulty, but a believer definitely goes through some difficulties. Why? Because they're necessary for a person in order to enter Jannah. And also what is being explained to us over here is that if you're facing problems as a believer, don't think it's something strange. It's the norm. If you face any difficulties, any challenges, any problems, just because you're a believer, just because you're studying the Quran, then don't think it's something strange. It's the norm. Anyone who undertakes this path, anyone who undertakes this journey, he definitely suffers difficulty. مَسَّتْهُمْ الْبَأْسَى. بَأْسَى touched them. Touched who? Those people before you, the believers before you. مَسَّتْهُمْ is from mim, seen, seen. What does mas mean? To touch. So what touched them? What afflicted them? الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ, poverty and hardship. We have done these words before as well. The word بَأْسَى is from ba hamza seen, and بَأْسَى gives a meaning of extreme poverty. Extreme poverty, that is with hunger. Extreme poverty in which a person also suffers from hunger. You see, one is that a person is suffering from poverty, so okay, fine, he sells his car. He doesn't have a car anymore. Okay, what does he do then? He doesn't have any money left. What does he do? He sells his house. He goes on rent. And then eventually he runs out of that money as well. And then eventually it comes to a point where he cannot even afford to buy food for himself. To the point that he becomes hungry. And not just hungry, extremely hungry. So what is ba'sa? Extreme hunger. Just remember the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the believers in Mecca, when they suffered from the boycott. And they suffered from so much hunger that they had absolutely no food left. They were forced to eat leaves and leather. Just imagine. Leaves, leather, that's what they were forced to eat, because they had absolutely no food left. And even if they could get some food, they weren't allowed to purchase any food. A complete social boycott. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَى. They underwent a lot of difficulty. So much so that they even suffered from hunger. The word ba'us from the same root is used for extreme poverty. وَالضَّرَّى. And they also suffered from Dharra. What is Dharra? From the root letters Dad, Ra, Ra. Dharra is used for illness, for sickness, and it's also used for mental pain, for mental torture, emotional torture. You see, one is that you're suffering physically. For example, a person has a headache, or a person has an illness. He's suffering. That hurts. But what hurts more is when somebody says something negative to you. When somebody passes a negative remark to you. That hurts much more. When the Muslims were suffering from the boycott in Mecca, what happened? Yes, they suffered from hunger and poverty, but what was unbearable was the fact that it was their own relatives, it was their own family who had driven them out of their homes, who had boycotted them. It was their own family. So, physical torture is on one hand, but emotional, mental, that's completely different. And that makes the problem much worse. So, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. They suffered from poverty, from hunger, from illness, from disease, from hardship, from tribulation, from psychological traumas, all of that. To the point that وَزُلْزِلُوا, to the point that they were shaken. What does it mean by زُلْزِلُوا? زُلْزِلُوا is from the root letter زَيْ لَمْ زَيْ لَمْ, from زِلْزَال. And what does زِلْزَال mean? It is used for an earthquake. Basically it means when something shakes to and fro, when something is convulsed, when something is rocked, when something is shaken completely. And you see, زلزل, زلزل. There is a repetition of the letters. زيلام and زيلام. And the repetition of the letters gives a meaning of the repetition of the action. It gives a meaning of repetition of the action. Some linguists say that زلزلو, زلزال, is from the root letter زيلام, لام, from زلة. The actual root letters are زيلام, لام, زلة. What does زلة mean? To slip. فَإِن زَلَلْتُمْ. زلة means to slip. And when you say زلزلة, it means to slip again and again. Why are you slipping again and again? Because of the constant movement, because of the constant shaking of the earth beneath you. So this is what زلزلة is. This is what زلزال is. And over here, وَزُلْزِلُوا, what does it mean by they were shaken? Not physically, but they were shaken because of the different kinds of trials that they went through. Because of the different types of traumas that they went through. One after the other. زَلْزَلَ. Continuously. One trauma, one test was followed by another. So you think that you're going to enter into Jannah easily? While the people before you who believed, they went through so much suffering. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. Now the question is, who is being addressed over here? Who were the first recipients of this ayah? The Prophet ﷺ and the companions. And you wonder, they suffered so much. What about those before them? They must have suffered much more. As we learn from several ahadith, from one hadith we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that among the nations before you, a believing man would be put in a ditch that was dug for him. He would be put in a ditch, in a hole that was dug for him. And a saw would be put over his head, and he would be cut into two pieces. Yet that torture would not make him give up his religion. That torture, that persecution, would not make him give up his religion. What is a negative comment, a negative remark compared to this? It's nothing. And we think that just because somebody gave me that stern look or passed that comment, I'm afraid to do this anymore. I'm afraid to wear my hijab, or I'm afraid to speak the truth, or I'm afraid to pray salah. Why? I mean, what is this opposition compared to what the previous people faced? The hadith continues that his body would be combed with iron combs that would remove his flesh from the bones and nerves, yet that would not make him abandon his religion. It would not make him abandon his religion. Because remember that when a person becomes a believer, when a person claims that he is a believer, then Allah tests him to see if he is truly sincere, if he is truly determined, if he really means it, that he is a believer. Just as Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he was going through all that difficulty, all that persecution, what did he say? That when you go by a container, when you go by a vessel, what do? You knock on it to see if it's really strong, to see if it's really solid. When you buy anything, you touch it, you feel it, you pick it up, sometimes you throw it. If anything is manufactured, they make it go through so many tests. They drop it from different heights. They expose it to heat, they expose it to harsh temperatures. Why? To see how strong it is, if it really can last. So similarly, when a person claims to be a believer, is Allah not going to test him? If he is really true in his iman? If what he's claiming is just lip service, or is it really from his heart? So you think you're going to enter Jannah just like that without any difficulties? No. You are going to suffer difficulties. You are going to face challenges. And these challenges could be from your family, they could be from your friends, they could be from your enemies, they could be from the situations that you're in life, they could be the different decisions that Allah makes for you. Because life is a test. Life is difficult. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. And they were shaken. And they were shaken so much that حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ, to the point that the messenger said. And along with the messenger, who else said? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ. And even the believers with him. The situation, the shiddah, the trauma, the difficulty, the trial was so severe, it was so unbearable, to the point that the messenger and the believers, they said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When is the help of Allah going to come? When? The word mata gives a meaning of when, at what time. It doesn't mean where is it. It means when is it going to come. Because they are certain, they have yaqeen, that Allah is definitely going to help. So they wonder, when is the help of Allah going to come? Now when we suffer some difficulties, whether it is memorizing the lesson, or it is fasting for 30 days, or it is praying 5 times a day, what do we think? It's too difficult. I can't do it. And really, reading the lesson 7 times, Allah knows the difficulty that you're going through. And if it is difficult for you, then difficulty is a must. Trial is a must. Allah is definitely going to test people. And whenever we are going through some difficulties, what should we think of? Who should we think of? Those people before us. Just as the hadith tells us that whoever is going through some difficulty, he should remember the difficulty that the Prophet ﷺ went through. Just remember the trials that he went through. He suffered difficulties from his childhood. As a child, he was an orphan. And then his own family turned against him. He went through hunger. He went through hardship. He went through so much suffering. What are my sufferings compared to him? They're nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the difficulties that the people before suffered, they were so much that even the messenger said, when is the help of Allah going to come? What does Allah say? Allah, unquestionably. And Allah is for exclamation. That know this, that inna nasrallahi qareeb, that indeed the help of Allah is qareeb, it is near. Meaning its coming is very near. It is definitely coming. And it is close. You just have to wait a little bit longer. Just a little bit more. Don't give up. Just keep holding on. Don't give up. Many times when we're going through difficulties, we say it's too difficult, and we give up. We stop doing the good that we're doing. And we say it's too difficult for me. But we just have to hold on a little bit longer, and that's it. We've learned earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give good news to those who are patient. We learn in Surah Muhammad, Ayah 31, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. And we will surely test you until we make evident those who strive among you for the cause of Allah and the patient. And we will test your affairs. We will test your situations. We will test the different situations that you're in. We will not leave you without trials, without difficulties. So we see that the path to Jannah is surrounded with difficulties. And these difficulties are very important, because it is these difficulties that make us determined, that make us turn to Allah more, that make us more sincere. If everything was fine, if everything was easy, how often would we make dua? How often would we have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So these difficulties are a must to make us more determined, to make us more sincere, and to increase our dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're also an opportunity for more reward. Let's listen to the recitation.
كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه وما اختلف فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم فهدى الله الذين آمنوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب.
If you write this for yourself, Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb, and put it somewhere where you can see it. And every time you're going through any suffering, any difficulty, whether it's a headache or a negative comment or a bad mark, anything, just remind yourself the help of Allah is near.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm thinking like how Allah begin asking, do you think, am hasibtum, do you think you will enter Jannah just like this? Most of time what we do, we just want to sit around and enjoy ourselves, do nothing and enter Jannah. Like she said, Jannah is surrounded by difficulties. We have to be tested. Because Jannah is high place. Jannah is expensive. We have to pay that price for us to enter Jannah.
And we have to show that we're really worth going to Jannah. Like we have to prove ourselves worthy of entering into Jannah.
Like you can't pass any, you can't get any diploma without doing any test. The same thing, you can't enter Jannah without passing the test we're going through. See, we just go through difficulty. None of us really affected with Ba'sa and Dara and Wazulzilo. None of us go through this. But when the test become hard for us, what do we say? Oh Allah, I'm studying Quran, I'm doing Salah, I wake up for Tahajjud. What did I do to deserve this?
Yes.
But you know, this was not the question of believers, and there are still hoped for the help of Allah. Mata nasrullah. And this should be for us ourselves, because when the situation will get hard, know that the help of Allah is near. Know that I'm about to be rewarded greatly. I remember the Prophet ﷺ, when he was passing away, he was going through so much pain, and he told his daughter that this is the last pain your father is going through. After this, there's no more suffering. We should always think, I'm suffering now, but inshallah, the help of Allah is near. Because Allah said, surely my help is near. So never give up. Because if you give up, then you don't want to be a loser. After suffering so much, and then you just give up on Allah, you lost hope in Allah, you are a loser. Know that always Allah helped the believers before you, and inshallah He will help us too.
Basically, when a person suffers in this dunya because of his deen, and when he is patient and when he is steadfast, then there is reward for him for that patience, for that steadfastness in this dunya and also in the akhirah. And we see that tests are very important. If you look at anything like the word fitna, which is used for test, what does it literally mean? To expose gold or some metal to fire, to heat. Why? In order to mold it, or in order to cleanse it, in order to purify it. So difficulties, they purify us. They bring about the best in us. They make us go beyond ourselves, because we are challenging our abilities. We're challenging our normal routine or our normal ways, so that we do that which we wouldn't generally do, we wouldn't otherwise do, because we have to strive, we have to put in extra effort. So difficulties and challenges, what do? They bring about the best in us. They force the best out of us. They take us to the maximum that we can do. Tests are through good times and also through bad times. And when they're through bad times, when they're through difficulties, then it's easier for a person to return to Allah. We learned that the people who were tested the most were those who were most beloved to Allah. So basically the message of this ayah is that we are going to be tested. If you're tested, no matter how, don't give up. Be strong. And give yourself comfort with the thought, with the conviction, with the knowledge that people before were also tested. What I am going through is the norm. It is not something new. It is not something strange.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.